that the words will go forth, Father, and it will have an everlasting effect on each and every one's life here. In your daughter's son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now in our text today, we find one of the most utilized stories to encourage people going through tough times. We have all heard, "Don't worry about it, for God has a ram in the bush."
Yeah.
It would be a tragedy, though, if all we took out of these 13 verses was that principle. Because God can certainly provide more than just a ram in the bush.
Yes, sir.
Now, I'm sure I will get a unanimous yes when I say that serving God will at some point cost you something. Now, everyone's cost is going to be different. But I recall an episode of Martin. Any Martin fans in here? Okay. I recall in the episode of Martin, as the plumber come to his house and assess his plumbing issue, and Martin said, "Well, man, how much is it going to cost?" The man simply said, "It might cost you a lot. It might cost you a little, but it's going to cost you." And so the question you should be asking yourself, though, is what is your pursuit of God costing you? Now, the pursuit of God is equivalent to worship, okay? The equivalent of worship. So if you didn't know, here's a public service announcement. Worship is going to cost you.
Yes, sir.
So I'm going to use for a topic today, the price is right.
All right.
In 2 Samuel, yes, the 24th chapter, the 24th verse, David said, "Nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing." Now, David, we talk about King David. King David had any and everything he wanted at his disposal. How many King James? The LeBron King James? King James! I knew I'd get a warm reaction out of that. When King James was in Cleveland, the king got any and everything he wanted, except for a championship. But we'll push it all here. But David could have any and everything that he wanted. He could have taken anything he wanted from around him. Around him, who he was talking to. He was purchasing land in order to offer up sacrifices to God because he had gotten out of God's order. Now, if you read in 2 Samuel, you know that David took a census. He counted the people. And God had told him specifically, don't take a census. And so he went against God's word, got out of God's order, and 70,000 lives were destroyed.
Mm.
70,000. Now, in the city now from Paysville, that means the entire city was wiped out. 70,000 lives were destroyed because David got out of order. And oftentimes, destruction is God's way of letting us know that something is out of order. So here we have King David paying for the places, I said, to build an offer, to offer a burnt sacrifice and peace offerings to restore God's order. In other words, he came to worship. And I want to talk about worship this morning because in the context in which we should be taking it, we miss an entire experience with God because we don't worship enough. But King David recognized that the price was right.
All right.
Now, Abraham, in our text today, recognized the very same thing. He recognized the price was right. Now, we must not get confused with the way things are done in society today, because they'll make you think that you don't have to commune with Jehovah, and you can commune with Jehovah.
Yeah.
And if you don't know who Jehovah is, just turn on 107.9. I'm sure he plays.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But everything will not be all right if you substitute. There is only one God.
Yes, sir.
One faith.
Yeah.
And one baptism.
Yeah.
So you can never pay the price for something if you don't know how much it costs.
All right.
Now Jesus asked his disciples in Luke, the 14th chapter, the 28th verse, "For which of you intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it?"
Yeah.
Now what great builder, as we drove in today, to get around the race that they have going on every year. This weekend, we come up to Cedar and just took Cedar all the way down. So we drive through Cleveland Heights. And I notice all these developments are being put up. You know, they got some nice stuff down there. And I'm sure when the owners of the group that owns that land and put all that stuff up, I'm sure when they went to build it, they didn't just start with a hammer and some nails.
Yeah.
No, they sat down with a blueprint to determine what the actual cost was going to be.
Yes,
there's no need to build something if you ain't got the money to build it.
I hear you. Yes, sir.
I'll get some help in a minute. So it's vital that we recognize, though, that the enemy, Satan, Lucifer, Beelzebub, whatever name we want to put on him, he does not want us to understand the price of worship. Why is that? Look at your neighbor and say, why is that?
Why is that?
Look at your other neighbor and say, why is that?
Why is that?
Look at you sitting on this plate. But he knows if we worship and we understand how to worship and what it entails, we become indestructible soldiers for Christ. Indestructible soldiers. So what does he do? He distracts us with things or stuff that will make worship cease to exist. Now there's three things I want us to take a look at. Because there's three things that we have to master in order for worship to exist in our lives. First one is worship cannot exist without silence. Okay. Now in verse 3, immediately after God gave Abraham the instructions, Abraham said nothing. Look at verse 3. Verse 3 says, he got up early in the morning and he went.
Yeah.
See, oftentimes we miss our opportunities to enter into worship with God because we always have something to say.
Come on.
Now, I'm not suggesting that you can't worship in an environment that's just not completely silent around you. That's not the type of silence that I'm talking about. But what I'm saying is that we have to eliminate certain people, places, and things from our lives if we're going to reap the benefits of this act. So here's what Satan does. Because remember, I said this in the sermon a few weeks ago. Satan knows what you like, and he knows how you like it.
Yeah.
He knows what you like, and he knows how you like it.
Yeah.
Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. I'm in a tight spot. And so what Satan does is he knows you like to go to church. But Satan will mess your Saturday night up so your Sunday morning can be tore up.
Yeah.
I know it ain't happening to nobody. Yeah, I know that. I know that. He know you like to have quiet time at home. But Satan, God will bless you with 4 kids, like I got. And he'll bless you with 4 loud kids, like I got. And what he'll do is Satan will try to stir them kids up so that when you try to get your quiet time at home, they all over the place. You go in the basement, it sounds like you're trying to jump through the floor. You go up there, and it sounds like you're trying to jump through the ceiling. Anyway you go, ain't no quiet time. Because
yeah.
He know what you like,
yeah,
and he know how you like it.
Yeah.
See, he know you enjoy listening to wholesome music while you in the car. Yeah. I know everybody in here say, take 5 minutes with the Ghost and the Holy Ghost and run for your life. So I know y'all ain't listening to the mother state. So when you put it on Radio 1000, when you put it on Radio 1000, you want to listen to some wholesome music in the car.
Uh-huh.
But somehow or another, somebody done been in your car and turned your station. I said, Satan know what you like, and he know how you like it.
Yeah.
He know you like hip-hop. Right. I like hip-hop.
Keep it real.
But instead of listening to Lecrae, we got to get Lil Weezy. And instead of listening to the truth, we got to get Eminem.
Yeah.
You feel me? I'm talking to some young folk that know what I'm talking about.
Amen.
Instead of listening to T. Wise, we got to get us a little bit of, give me another one.
T.I.
There you go. There you go. T.I. But there's wholesome things that have been created under the things that we like.
Mm.
But the question we got to ask is how much are we willing to pay?
Yeah.
The price is right.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Yeah. The price is right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he tries to distract us with all that stuff so that we never get a chance to focus on the instructions of God long enough to not have to ask questions. See, a lot of times we're asking questions because we ain't listening.
Come on. That's good.
We don't sit down long enough for God to say, this is where I want you to go.
Yeah.
We got so much, we just busy.
Yeah.
Just busy, busy, busy.
Yeah. Come on.
And we never eliminate stuff out of our schedule. We just bow at Jesus' feet.
Come on, man. Yep.
And so we got to ask questions. See, the problem with questions is you will begin to talk yourself out of the very thing that God told you to do. I'm telling you because I know. When I was about 14 years old, when God tapped me on my shoulder and told me he wanted me to preach, I told him he was crazy. My daddy was a preacher, and I told him right then, I'm not doing what my daddy do.
Yeah.
That's what he laughed. He laughed at me. But see, the bottom line is I didn't sit still long enough, so God gave me the specific instructions. Yeah. See, later on when I decided to sit still, God said, I don't want you to be your father. You can't be him.
That's right.
He said, I want you to be you, because can't nobody be you.
Yes, sir.
And see, when I sat down and got the instructions, it all began to be so clear to me.
That's right.
Because I listen.
You preach it.
I listen. And we know the story of Moses. In Exodus, God told Moses, you my man. I'm paraphrasing, but God said, you my man.
Yeah.
You my man. This is what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to send you over here and deliver all these people. You got it. Moses, the first thing Moses started doing was started asking questions.
That's right.
Moses said, who am I?
Right.
Yeah. Or we might say, Lord, why me?
Yeah.
Moses said, what shall I say? Or we might say, well, Lord, I'm from the ghetto. I went to a bad school, so I don't speak that good English. What am I going to say?
Yeah.
We start asking questions. Or we might say, I done did too much dirt. Why would they believe me?
Yeah.
Oh, we might say to ever popular, I don't speak well enough.
Mm.
I'm going to stop right there. Because we come up with so many questions that are nothing more than excuses.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
That nothing more than excuses.
Yeah.
Now, Moses here is talking to God. God, the G-O-D.
Yes, sir.
The CEO of the universe.
Come on.
He's talking to God, and here he is talking his way out of his destiny.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, some of y'all, I know right now God is putting a special burden in your heart, and you're talking yourself out of your destiny.
Mm. Yeah.
But in our text, Abraham did not say one thing. Mm-hmm. He just shh. Look at somebody sitting next to you and say, shh.
Oh, wow.
This is me. But he just stayed quiet.
Yeah.
And it said he got up and he went. So not to beat that point up, it's important to understand that we must be able to control the unnecessary noise around us.
Yeah.
In the third chapter of Colossians, the second verse, it said, set your affection or your minds on things above, not on things on the earth.
All right.
So it's important as we desire to enter into worship with God, we must understand silence is key. But there's a second point. Worship cannot exist without separation.
Okay.
See, a lot of people have never experienced real and authentic worship because we won't separate from nothing. We can't leave our friends and associates alone long enough to experience real worship.
Yes, sir.
See, verse 5 of the text states that Abraham told his homeboys, again, I paraphrase. He told his homeboys, y'all got to stay here. Separate.
Yeah.
Y'all got to stay here. He said, well, little I, that's what I call Isaac when I'm 2011. He said, well, little I and myself are going. Y'all can't come. Y'all got to stay here.
Yeah.
But check this out. This is what he tell them. Check this out. We going over here to holler at the big OG. A.K.A. G.O.D.
Yeah.
And we'll be back. So y'all just chill. We holler at y'all when we get back. That's what he told them. But a lot of us can't do that to our friends because we're afraid of what their response is going to be.
Wow.
See, the price most people are willing to pay is to separate themselves from that which is most comfortable.
Yes, sir.
That can be your family. That can be your friends. Yeah. That can be a job. That can be cars. That can be money. That can be a woman. That can be a man. That can be anything that is separating you or keeping you from doing what God has for you.
Yes, sir.
Say separate.
Separate.
But Abraham knew that what God could reveal to him, not what he was going to reveal to him, but what God could reveal to him, everyone in his inner circle could not handle it.
Mm.
And I stop by to tell you today, if you're going to have a pursuit of God, to worship the Almighty Father. There's a lot of people in your inner circle that cannot handle God can show you. They can't handle it. And when those close to you can't handle the worship you experience with God, they will begin to be used by the enemy to get you out your hookup. Mm. There go a few examples. You go, what you say, this is the LBC?
Yes, sir.
You going over to the LBC on Tuesday. Let's just throw a random day of the week. Well, it don't take all that. Anybody heard that from somebody?
Yeah.
It don't take, you ain't got to be in church all that. It don't take all that.
Yeah.
Or when you're trying to minister to somebody, well, God knows my heart. God knows my heart.
Yeah.
If you ever use that one, I want to talk to you because you do. You really do.
Yeah.
Oh, and Pop messed us up. I'm gonna take a sip of water right here because Pop messed us up. Pop say, only God can judge me.
Yeah.
Oh, Pop messed us up.
Yes, sir.
Pop messed us up. That's so Pop, man. Everything we do, we could be out here slaying crack. Yeah. No, we wrong, and then we only God can judge me.
You're preaching. You're preaching.
Out here beating on my wife. No, I'm wrong. Hey, I'm preaching the word because only God can judge me. We use only God can judge me and never realize that when God casts judgment, everywhere I see it, there was death involved.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
We just seen where King David got out of order with God, and what happened? 70,000. So you go on and let God judge you. Can you live with the blood of 70,000 people
on
your hands? Oh, whatever, I'm going to push on from that because I can stay there all day.
Yes, Lord.
Or another one, you a Jesus freak. You know what I tell them when they tell me that, Pastor? I say certified.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Look, I took a big piece of paper one time and wrote certified Jesus freak on it. This means I'm certified. Yes, sir.
Certified.
Oh, what about, you more holier than
I? Yeah.
No, I ain't. I'm just trying to be holy for he is holy.
Yes, sir.
That's what my words say.
Yeah.
Oh, what about you a holy roller?
Yeah.
Ooh, I think I'd have pulled all of them out there.
I heard them.
But that's what he do. That's what the folks around you when Satan begins to infiltrate their minds and their hearts and their bodies and their soul. And he begins to infiltrate them to use them just to get you off task.
Yeah.
Come on now. So that's why it's important, especially you young people, it's important that you choose your friends wisely.
Yes, sir.
Because if you don't choose your friends wisely, as God begins to elevate you, your friends will begin to try to pull you back to where they are because you're exposing them.
Yeah. You preaching.
Yes, he is.
And so you got to run with people that are like-minded. You got to separate yourself from people that really don't want to do nothing.
Yeah.
Because that's the only way that you can get what God has for you. If I had, when I turned my life back over to Christ, I asked God, I need some friends. I need some friends. At the time, both my brothers who had always been my friends, they weren't trying to do what I was trying to do. My sister wasn't trying to do what I was trying to do. You know, them was my friends. I need some friends. Everybody I went to school with wasn't trying to do what I was trying to do. So what I was supposed to do? My wife became my best friend. She became my best friend. We started developing a relationship, and we just weren't going through the routine of being married. We developed a relationship.
Yeah.
And so I said, I need some friends. So around October of 2009, I preached my trial sermon. And that same year, we came out here a couple of weeks later to fellowship for pastor appreciation. Now, my aunt and Sister Robin are good friends, so she was telling me, you gotta meet Keith. You gotta meet Keith. And I'm like, man, all right, whatever. He said, his daddy a preacher. I'm like, yeah, really, whatever. I'm fooling on PK. PKs are the worst, ain't they? I mean, PKs are the worst.
That's true.
We ain't talking about you telling, we talking about the person on the other road. But I know I don't want no PKs. I'm trying to tell God what friends I want. I know I need, but I'm going to tell you what I need.
Yes, sir.
And so we came out here to fellowship, and Keith and I met. And it was like we had known each other for ages. Like I went to Bedford. Like I used to take his money from him. But God answered that need.
Yeah.
And then as I meet Keith, then I get exposed to the rest of the family, and I meet Minister Pam, and then all of a sudden, they bring Pastor and First Lady, and now we're a family.
Yeah.
Now we're a family. I feel like uncle and auntie.
All right.
But God answered the need because I separated myself from that which was not going in the same direction as me.
Yes,
sir. Yes. So when I separated myself, if I could just stay on this road long enough by myself, he was going to send me some help.
Come on, preacher.
And he did. See, what we got to avoid, and in that example I gave you, if I had not avoided this, I would have been in trouble. See, what happens is Satan begins to use those people or those things to chip away at us until we are a shell of the Christian God has intended us to be. We need to come to statistics. I'm a stats fan. I love statistics. I can't hardly say it, but I love it. According to the Adolescent Substance Abuse Knowledge-Based Reports, that right around 30% of teens are offered drugs in middle school and high school. Yeah,
wow.
That's not really that mind-boggling, because we pretty much know that they're there. They were there, we were there. According to the National Household Survey on Drug Use and Health from U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, 74.3% of high school students have tried alcohol. 74%. That's 3 out of every 4 persons in high school have tried alcohol. 3.1 million teenagers smoke, according to the American Lung Association. The Kaiser Foundation reports that about 50% of teenagers feel pressured with regard to sex and relationships. Now, I'm giving you this information as parents because you've got to recognize the pressure. What is chipping away at our kids? I'll keep giving them to you. A recent CDC survey shows that by the time teenagers are 14 years old, 20% of them have tried a cigarette. 66% have tried alcohol. This is by 14. 25% reported having been involved in a binge drinking episode. 25% of teen girls tried illegal drugs as a direct result of peer pressure. More than one-third of teens have had sexual intercourse. Now, young people, I see a couple here. I know you get tired of folks talking about, man, you know, safe sex, you should not have sex, you know, you shouldn't be doing it. But here is the problem. I've exposed my flesh. I'm going to be vulnerable for you for a minute if you don't mind. I've exposed my flesh to so much that it takes a lot of work to keep myself holy or righteous in the eyes of God. And the more you expose your flesh to, the more sexual partners, the more alcohol, the more marijuana, the more cocaine, the more meth, the more crack, the more ice, whatever other drugs are out there, the more you expose yourself to it, the more you're going to desire it.
Right,
I ain't saying sex don't feel good. I ain't saying you don't get high when you... That ain't what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is, when you get it one time, you're going to want it 100 times. And now as you try to line yourself up somewhere around 30, because that's where people are now trying to come back to Christ, somewhere around 30, you try to line yourself up with your ordained destiny. Now you got all this stuff that you got to fight.
You teach it.
That's like trying to get on an airplane with everybody trying to get on an airplane with their baggage. I ain't talking about putting it underneath in the storage department. I'm talking about trying to get on.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the fights that would be going on because of them over here compartments in school? But we carry all this garbage around with us, this stuff, because we expose our flesh so much that by the time we want to give it to God, we can't cut that loose. So we got to separate ourselves early on. But dig this. In 2009, analysts looked at the 5 worst cities for urban youth. Attention was paid to high school graduation rates, infant mortality rates, unemployment rates, and juvenile justice incarceration. The 5th worst city for urban youth was Cleveland, Ohio. With a high school graduation rate of 34%, the city of Cleveland has among the lowest graduation rates in the country. Now, this is according to the America's Promise Alliance. In the most recent annual report filed by Cleveland's Juvenile Division of the Cuyahoga County Court of Common Pleas, a total of 11,254 delinquency and unruly cases were filed. African American youth made up 64% of individual offenders, the highest of any minority group, and the city's unemployment rate stands at 8.3%. I wonder why. If 34% can only get through high school, it explains why we have one of the highest unemployment rates in the country. And so as these gut-punching statistics show, it's important, y'all, it's important. You got to catch this. It's important that we separate ourselves from what's going on in our society.
Yeah.
I know they make it seem all right.
Yeah.
They got all types of shows on TV.
Right. Yeah.
Sister Wives.
Yeah. Right.
Y'all seen that one?
Yeah.
One man with three wives.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know about you, but I can't handle three sister coffees.
No.
Dude, I got my hands full.
Yes, sir.
But it's okay. Real housewives of every city in America. And they make this stuff. They give them airtime to act a fool.
Yeah.
And misrepresent themselves. And we glued to the TV. I wonder what he gonna do this week. Him, no, she can't sing. I don't even know why she... Why they kicked Deshaun off the show? Because she wasn't acting a fool.
Right.
They make it seem all right.
Yeah.
It's not all right.
Nah.
That's not God's will and purpose for our lives.
Nah.
Going back to Genesis, God said he made man to have dominion over everything.
Yes, sir.
We're supposed to be running stuff.
Yes.
Kingdom folk. But society has chipped away at us.
Yeah.
And now we got all excuses in the world
yeah.
on why we can't just be an empty vessel for God to fill.
Mm.
So I'm going to keep it moving. The third thing we're going to talk about is worship cannot exist. This is the most important. Without sacrifice.
Yes, sir. Right.
See, we've mistaken worship for a style of music.
Yeah.
A slow song is worship.
Right.
Like, where in the Bible does it say anything about a song in a certain tempo determines whether or not you get good worship in?
Yeah.
Why do we even have to have music to worship?
Come on, preacher. You preaching.
See, when the priests worshiped in the Old Testament, they brought sacrifices
yeah.
in the form of blood.
Yeah.
Now, I know nobody want to hear that because that's nasty. That's very nasty. But once they sacrificed something, the glory of the Lord would fall in the temple.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, the biggest reason, if you're missing God's glory in your life, the biggest reason it's not falling is because there's no sacrifice.
Mm.
Nobody wants to kill nothing.
Yeah.
We want to hold on to stuff. We become spiritual hoarders. Hold on to stuff that God wanted us to release a long time ago.
Yeah.
And here we are still holding it. And when God wants to place something in our hand, we don't even have hands to hold on. We stick it under my leg. Where you gonna hold it at?
Yeah.
God created us to be conduits of blessings.
Yes, sir.
So when he blessed you with something, you gotta constantly be giving that out. But because there's no silence,
yeah.
and because there's no separation, there's no sacrifice.
Wow.
Now verse 7 of my text shows that little I was somewhat intelligent. Somebody gave that boy some smarts. Because if you look at verse 7 in the text, and I paraphrase again, I just said, dang. Yes, sir. Abraham replied. No, I see the fire. See, I didn't know what was going on. Dad, I see the fire. He said, Dad, I see the wood. Dad, there's a fire.
Yeah.
And Dad, there's the wood. Well, what is sacrifice?
Yeah.
See, I see what you're going to use. But I don't see what you're going to
yeah.
use. See, the only way to sacrifice something is to eliminate or kill it.
Yeah.
So Isaac was looking around.
Yeah.
And he knew Daddy couldn't be it because Daddy wasn't pure. But he seen the ingredients. And he was the recipe.
Yeah. yeah.
And so Isaac caught on pretty quick.
Yeah.
But see, we want to say we exalt thee and say I worship you.
Yeah.
But you ain't killed no bad habits.
Come on, man.
You ain't stopped giving folks a piece of your mind.
Right.
You ain't stopped cussing folks out.
Right.
You ain't stopped cutting your eyes. Flipping the bird at somebody because they cut you off in traffic. You ain't killed nothing. But we want the glory of the Lord to fall.
Yeah.
We exalt thee.
Yeah.
Oh, for real. We exalt thee. With your Facebook page mine out. We exalt thee.
Wow.
With your tweets, wild out, but we exalt the Lord.
Mm.
With your iPods, and your iPads, and your iTunes, and your eyebrows, wild out. But we exalt the name of the Lord with all that stuff getting in the way of God healing us. We got to begin to kill that stuff in order to sacrifice to God so we can experience worship. And the only way you can experience it is by praising.
Yeah.
See, God said he inhabits the praise of his people.
Yes, sir.
That means when we begin to praise, that means he'll call it sit down.
Yes.
And he'll sit down in the presence of his people. And he'll begin to abide with us and give us knowledge and understanding and wisdom. Because we got to praise.
Yes.
Psalms 147:1 says, praise the Lord.
Yes.
147:12 says, praise the Lord. 148:1 says, praise the Lord.
Yeah.
149:1 says praise the Lord. 151 says praise the Lord. 156 says let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Somebody praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We got to begin to kill stuff. There is no, if we look around, it's too many of God's people walking around with no sacrifice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, Lord.
And we want the glory to fall.
Yeah.
For what? If you bad at spending money, why you want to hit the lottery?
Wow.
30-some-odd% of people that hit the lottery are broke within 5 years.
Yeah.
Why?
Yep.
How many ball players and celebrities are broke? Why? Because a fool and his money are soon apart.
Yeah.
So you can take somebody that ain't got no principles, money principles, and give them a bunch of money, and they gonna still be dumb as a box of rocks. Just a dummy with money. These principles work.
Yeah.
There are people in the world that don't love God, don't believe in God, that are applying biblical principles. They're applying those principles, and they're seeing the results of them. One of the best examples is Russell Simmons. Russell Simmons is a Buddhist or Hindu, something.
Yeah.
One of them who their God did.
Yeah.
But Russell Simmons got a little cheese. A little bit.
Okay, yeah, a little bit.
But it's because he's mastered the principles that God tells us to master. He gives. So it's given to him.
Yeah.
Pressed down. Shake it together,
yes, sir.
Run it over.
Yes.
See, with the same measure that you give, it'll be given back to you. Yes. See, Russell might not love God, but he's mastered the principle.
Yes.
That's right.
And so we gotta begin to kill stuff so that we can master these principles, so we can see his glory manifest itself in our lives. See, God ain't cool with the cussing worshiper.
Come on. Wow.
Come on, brother. Reach.
He's not cool with the clothing worship. He's not cool with the sexy senior citizen worship. He's not cool with that. He's not cool with that. But what he is cool with is the saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Running for your life.
Yes,
worship.
Sir.
Yeah. See, he's like a little worshiper that ain't afraid to bow down before him.
Yeah.
He's like a little worshiper that know he's a healer.
Yes, sir.
He's like a worshiper that know he's a keeper.
Yes, sir.
He might need to be kept in here today. He know he like somebody that knows he's incredible. So that they give him incredible praise.
Yes.
Somebody shout glory to God.
Glory to God. Glory.
See, we got to quit fooling ourselves thinking we can do everything under the sun and still get our worship off.
Come on, man.
You ain't worshiping. You're defrauding the system.
Yeah.
Wow.
And we got to be to a close. This is how genius God is. This is how genius God is. Because I know some people feeling beat up. You on a treadmill of life thinking you going somewhere. And the more you run, the more you realize you ain't progressing. You don't go nowhere on a treadmill. And I know you beat up, you beat down. You tore up from the floor. You broke, busted, and disgusted. You can't stand yourself, let alone somebody else.
Yeah.
I know. But here's the key. You got to understand that God still loves you.
Yes, sir. Glad.
See, the irony in this story that we looked at in the text today is that God asked Abraham to do something that was ridiculous. Anybody want to volunteer to sacrifice their only son right now?
Lord have mercy, Jesus.
But guess what? He didn't make Abraham do it. But he said, I'll do it.
Yeah.
I love you so much, Abraham, that I'm going to let you keep him. And I'm going to make him a nation. All by himself.
Come on.
And he said, I'm going to send my son, because that nation that he made, they're going to be tripping. Because they already been tripping. So the nation that I'm going to send them, they're going to be tripping. So I'm going to send my son so that when they trip and fall, I can help them get up.
Come on.
See, God is so genius.
Yes, yes.
That when you caught up in drugs and alcohol and illicit affairs and unhealthy relationships and sex before marriage and paper chasing, which is a dead end job.
Yeah.
He is so genius that he said, I got a way out.
Yeah, come on, man.
I got a way out. I got a way out. See, in Luke 17, it says there were 10 men that were lepers. Now, catch this out. He said there were 10 men that were lepers.
Yeah.
Somebody gonna catch that. You see the separation?
Yeah.
There are 10 men that were lepers. It says Jesus told him to go show yourself unto the priest.
That's right.
Now, when God begins to separate stuff like that, that means he can speak to one of them. Are you following?
Yes, sir.
So, when he told them to go show yourselves unto the priest, at that time, he wasn't talking to the lepers. See, God ain't talking to the drug addict. He's not talking to the alcoholic.
All right.
He's not talking to the sex addict. He's talking to the person. And see, he separates those things, and as they went, they were cleansed because the leprosy couldn't go with them.
Yeah.
Because he was only talking to the men.
All right.
So you got to take this away from here today. Wow. It didn't matter what was on these lepers. And I'm closing.
Go ahead.
We open the doors to the church. All right. To the kingdom.
Yeah.
It didn't matter what was on the lepers. And I tell you today, some of you are stricken with something that you can't seem to shake. It don't matter what's on you. God don't care about what's on you. You know why? He cares about what's in you. And his word says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world.
Yes, sir.
And so we got to understand, I don't care what you got on you. I don't care how much you abuse yourself for year after year after year. God don't care about all you. God cares about what are you trying to put in you. In the first chapter of Acts, as Jesus was preparing to ascend to heaven, they were asking Jesus, why you got to go? Jesus said, I got to go so I can send a comforter to come back and be with you.
Yes, sir.
See, they had already killed my body. But the very thing that's going to keep us alive spiritually, they could not touch. And so I got to take my spirit back to where it belongs, where it started at. But my body, forget about that. See, God ain't concerned with your body. See, we got to nail so much stuff to the cross so that it can be crucified, so the body can die and the spirit can come alive. He tells us to crucify our flesh daily. Who's willing to pay the price? The price is right. God's way is not just right, but it's better.
Yes, sir.
The prodigal son didn't come running back home because it was right. He came running back home because it was better.
Man.
And we if we want what God has for us, we got to yield right now. Give it up where you stand. Don't think you got to tomorrow. Because too many people are leaving here thinking that they can confess to God on their deathbed and they never get that opportunity. Don't play with death like that. Don't play with death. Let's live life. And let's live it more abundantly. Is there one?